My guest is Patrizia von Bronzenstein, who began her career painting sets for the New York stage. She's now an Academy Award-winning movie production designer. Her credits include Amadeus, Ragtime, A Chorus Line, Breaking Away, Saturday Night Fever, and The Untouchables. A production designer chooses locations and dresses the set, but von Bronzenstein has become known in her field for her attention to detail and the overall interpretation that she brings to a film. She's currently working in Canada on a new film for Costa Gavras. We caught up with her as she was about to teach a production workshop at Robert Redford's Sundance Institute in Salt Lake City. I asked her to tell me about the design challenges presented to her by Brian De Palma, director of The Untouchables.
He felt that The Untouchables, this time, that is the gangster era of Chicago, had been explored many, many times in television plays and movies and all sorts of presentations. So they had grown up a kind of cliche about Prohibition, the 30s, gangsters, etc., and that he wanted to take these characters to myth, an American myth, good and bad, good and evil. He wanted to make Capone a titan. He wanted him to have a kind of absolute power, so that the city of Chicago is in the grip of this absolute power, so that the Untouchables would seem all the more unlikely and helpless and vulnerable.
If De Palma wanted the film to have a mythic quality, what kinds of symbols did you look for that you could put into the movie that would help transfer that sense of being larger than life?
Well, most specifically, there are emblems particularly in Capone's digs that are mythic, specifically the Sun King, a world where the world of Chicago revolving around Capone, and there are themes and symbols of the sun that are worked architecturally into those sets. But those are things that we built. Now in Chicago, we were looking for mass. We were looking for power. We were looking for the idea of urban strength, of a city that rises directly out of the plain, out of the prairie, with this enormous mass of stone, and it denotes power.
Some of the architecture that you used is the municipal architecture downtown. There's the courthouse. You have the train station.
Yes.
Is it hard to get buildings like that existed during Capone's time and still exist now to look
well,
as if
course.
It was then and not now? There must be a lot of little things that you have to get rid of so it doesn't betray the fact that you're shooting this in the 1980s.
Of course, and a lot of little things and a lot of big things. It's very hard to do this without, in fact, impossible to do this without municipal cooperation. In the case of the city of Chicago, they are absolutely behind trying to bring film business to Chicago because it's a very good source of income. One of the hardest things to do was to get the cultural center. The Chicago Cultural Center is on the National Historic Register. It's a national landmark. It's a great and grand building, and we used it more or less constantly for 3 weeks with men jumping off buildings and shootouts and what have you. We used it for the exterior of the courtroom, for the shootout on the stairs, the shootout on the roof. We used one entrance, which would be the south entrance, for the entrance to the opera, and it works very well.
I have this theory that you can frequently tell what decade a movie was in by looking at the hairdos. And I mean movies that are set several centuries ago, especially biblical epics. I can always tell when a biblical epic was made by looking at the hairdos, because even though they try to really evoke the past, sometimes, you know, like the queen has a flip, you know, or a chignon, and you just know when the movie was made. Are there details like that for you that always betray when a movie was made, even though it's trying to look true to its time?
Not the ones I've done. I think that that was true for about for a couple of decades, the 40s and 50s. But honestly, I think the design of films and costumes and hair has made some progress, and that we do set a much higher premium now on authenticity and on accuracy. And certainly actors who are prominent now are very interested in being as accurate as possible. I know that all of the Untouchables and Mr. Connery and Mr. De Niro were extremely interested in being as accurate to a historical persona. Not that every event really happened or every single thing is true about the film, but they are true to the time. They're true to the era.
I have to ask you one thing about Amadeus, which you did the production design for. I'd never seen wigs quite like that. I don't know if you worked on the wigs or not.
Yes.
They seemed higher to me and more must and anarchic in a way than I've ever seen powdered wigs look before.
Well, the convention that you see, of course, is one style of wig with two rolls on the side and only using a white powder. We checked accuracy to a tremendous degree, and we discovered that there were many, many different kinds of wigs, that they were made of many different kinds of things according to the status of the wearer. Wigs were universal, but can you imagine a wig made of horse hair? Can you imagine a wig made of cotton string? A wig made of furs of various kinds, and yet those were all valid too.
Has life ever copied your art? Have you ever set trends because of things you've designed for movies?
I would say that the costumes in Saturday Night Fever had a certain influence on disco wear for a while.
How did you get all the costumes to stay put while everybody was dancing? Usually you get so sloppy when you dance. Your shirt comes out of your pants and your jacket flies all over.
There's all manner of tricks. Those costumes, they're made like dance costumes, the same way a ballet or a jazz dancer. It's a costume. It's not clothes. What happened was we wanted an extremely mass-produced polyester look for all of those clothes. So the men's suits were purchased and then taken apart so that they would, and put back together again so that they would fit beautifully.
You sometimes have to go to an enormous amount of detail work for a scene that will be on screen for just a few seconds or maybe a minute. Is that ever frustrating?
Well, I think it's far more frustrating to a production designer or a costume designer. I think it's far more frustrating to not be able to do the details properly. I think whatever difficulties you have to go through to get it right, I don't think anybody minds that. I think what you mind is not having the opportunity to get it right because there's no time or there's no money and what have you. And I think that's really a terrible thing for a designer to go through.
From a production design perspective, what makes a great script? What do you look for in a script before deciding to do a movie?
I look for a good script. I don't feel that I serve my career or my obligations to my career, to myself, well by choosing something that is only a series of pretty pictures or a series of difficult designs to execute. What I look for is a good script, a good story. The same things that directors and producers look for. How can you say, why does someone like a picture? Why does someone like a book? But whatever that is, that's what you aspire to in motion pictures as well. And that's the kind of script I look for.
Okay, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Okay.
Patricia von Brandenstein was the production designer for the new film The Untouchables. She won an Academy Award for her work on the movie Amadeus.